It is a privilege to be here. I talk loud. Nothing like Brother White, I guarantee you that. But I do talk loud, so the sound men may adjust accordingly for your hearing. Brother Joe's talked about me being a good friend. I blackmailed my friends. That's why I got good friends. Brother Joe took him to a big sporting goods store, up a hunting store. He like a kid in a candy store. They couldn't keep up with him. He just running here. I know the security people was going wild. They thought he was trying to steal something. I know they was. Brother Joe was looking this, that, and talking about spending money. He kept saying, Sister Belinda said, and he said, she don't let me spend the money. She don't let me spend the money. And finally I told him, I said, Brother, I said, I'm going to tell her how much you're spending. Then he said, oh, no, she don't really care. I was just joking, you, Brother Tim. I said, well, if you buy me a dinner, I said, I won't tell on you. Oh, no, she don't really care. It don't really bother her. Guess what? Who paid for dinner that later on that? Brother Joe paid dinner. Stopped, had an appointment had to make, and I stopped. Brother Joe and left. He come back. When I got back out to the truck, he had me a big Whopper, good drink, take care of me. Got a lot of things I want to say most of the time, when I especially go away from home. Don't get out of the holler much, so to speak. But I just got a lot of things I want to share. I don't know how much that you want to put on Facebook with our video man there, but I don't have nothing I'm ashamed to say. I just have a lot of things on my heart. The message is not going to be that long, and the message itself, but it's right at 11:30, and I'll try my very best to have you by 5 after. I'll try to have it wrapped up if I possibly can. Do thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to be here. I bring you greetings from my sister church, Faith Baptist Church of Quincy, Kentucky. Our church established out of South Irvine Baptist Church, Brother Homer Crane, Brother Clarence Grigsby, was the founding pastor there for 13 years, and I've been the pastor there since then. And we started almost exactly the same time the Faith Baptist here in Versailles was established as a church. Faith Baptist Church, I feel like it's a blessed church. We had a great meeting. Brother Joe was a great preacher. I don't have to tell you that. We had a great meeting. Our people certainly felt very privileged, able to have him to come and be with us. Had a good time, great meeting. Hearts was touched. And I just felt like that as I left today, Brother Gary Howell was preaching, even as I speak. I know that he's in the pulpit. And I told the churches I'm not going to be there. I'm going to miss out. Things are going to bust loose. And I'm going to be in Versailles. Brother Gary said, just go ahead and take your phone with you. Just go ahead and put it on Facebook Live. You can watch me while you're preaching. So I don't think Brother Joe would mind you doing that. I have a hard time but chewing bubble gum and walking, let alone trying such a feat as that. But I do bring greetings from Faith Baptist Church of Quincy, Kentucky. It's a very blessed church. We have a vision for reaching the lost, go forth sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We try to minister to those to be saved in our community, minister to the family members of our church. We all the time desire to bring glory to our God and to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our focus, that's our main motivation. Is to bring glory to God in all things we do. I do want to say that I love our church. I love church. The Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. Faith Baptist Church saved my life. I'm not ashamed to say that. I encourage all to stay in church. Bring your family up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them out to church. Give them a fighting chance in this old world. This old world needs what you hear about in church. And we thank God for church. Thank God for church like Faith Baptist Church at Versailles. I bring you greetings as well from my family. I have a very beautiful and talented wife, Sandy. She doesn't like to get away from home as much, and she's worse than I. But I've traveled all over the eastern part of the United States. Told somebody I'd been within the ocean probably close to upwards of 10 times in my travels, and I hadn't ever even went to see the ocean. I said, well, I'll catch it on the next trip. I was wanting to get back home to the mountains of Kentucky. And just a kind of a homebody, but do thank you for the privilege. We've got a wonderful wife, beautiful wife, talented wife, a good pastor's wife, daughter Rebecca, and my son-in-law Ryan leads our singing. His son, my grandson Mason's with us here today. Thank God he drove me up today. Thank the Lord for him. He brought his billfold. We stopped at McDonald's. I said, Bubba, I forgot my billfold. He said, Papa, I got you covered. Can't beat that. Thank the Lord he's here with us today. He's a sophomore over at Morehead State University. Very proud of him as a Christian young man, a fine young Christian man, has also taken a stand in his service for the Lord. My son Woody and his wife Elizabeth, you may know them. Familiar faces at the Bash, have been for many years.
ask the Lord to continue to be with them, lead, guide them as they work there in the church as well, with my daughter and my son-in-law. Also, my grandson Carson's almost 13 years old. He's a fine young man, saved and baptized. He works, leads in prayer in the church, works and serves in the church. Thank the Lord for him. And also, I got a granddaughter. We call her Princess Emma, 10 years old, going on 17 years old. A wonderful young girl, Amadea, and her are very good friends. It's a sight to watch and be together and enjoy themselves. Brother Todd, Sister Rosalinda, the family I know are going down to Florida. And Brother Todd, he shared that with me before, that he's here with us over a month ago. And I talked to Brother Todd about that, and I said, well, we're praying about that. I said, you want me to pray God's will or my will to be done in your life? He said, brother, it's got to be God's will. I said, well, it's hard for me to see you leave this area, Brother Todd. And I know that you all love Brother Todd, Sister Rosalinda, the children. I know you don't want to see them leave as well. But again, we're selfish, but we got to pray God's will, don't we? We pray that God's will would align with our will, that Brother Todd could stay here in the area with us. But Emma's a very sweet young girl, works in the church, labors in church, helps all that she can. She's also saved and baptized. Before I get into the message, I've got a few other things I want to take time to say. I would like to commend you as a church for calling Brother Joe Collins as your pastor when you did. As your other pastor retired, I commend you for the man that you got to come to fill your pulpit. You went about, when you decided to call a man, you did like my cousin did when we was in high school. We was freshmen. As young men do, we just think about all the girls in the high school, the young ladies. And my cousin has an event coming up, and he picked out what we thought was the most beautiful, most popular, and a very good girl in many ways. But he picked this one particular girl out, and he said, I'm going to ask her to go with me, and so maybe she'd just be my girlfriend. I don't think it ever came in his mind that maybe she already had a boyfriend. But anyway, someone asked her, and the other boys there around, we sit around talking. We said, well, man, you ain't got a chance with her. She's one of the most popular, if not the most popular, beautiful girl, very kind girl, gracious way about her. Said, you ain't got a chance to get her. You're a freshman. She's almost a senior, and being so popular and all, we said, you ain't got a chance. And he said, well, he said, I'm going to start at the top, so I'll work my way down. He said, if she wants, I'm going to go to the one I think's the second best, the third best. He said, why start at the bottom and work your way up? He said, I'm going to go with the very best. Well, you all did when you called Brother Joe. You called the best. You called the best. I believe Brother Joe, no doubt, when he, and still yet today, I'll tell you where he can go right today. He can go to Faith Baptist Church at Quincy. We got men in our church ready to boot me out any time they thought that Brother Joe would come up there. And they're not afraid to tell me that. And Joey Lyons is one of them, Sister Courtney. He tells me all the time, said, we're going to get rid of you, and your Brother Joe Collins come up here and preach for us, and we'd like to have him. But again, you sought after a man of God, and I believe probably, no doubt, the most sought after man to pastor, a preacher among our ranks, that's Brother Joe Collins. And I say that all honest and sincerity. You know the Lord is leading you to call Brother Joe to be your pastor. The Lord knew that. Certainly he did. Probably, no doubt, Sister Belinda started seeing the writing on the wall and realized that she's getting ready to take a trip to Lexington. Everybody understood it but Brother Joe. And the Lord, like with Zacchaeus, had to get him out of the tree, get his attention. But the Brother Joe, along with him, you got an absolute jewel of a wife, a pastor's wife, your pastor's wife, Sister Belinda. Both are held in the very highest regard by everybody who knows them. Don't know how much that you all get out of the holler, so to speak. Other churches, other pastors, hold them both in the very highest of regard, both of them. Sometimes you meet a couple in a church and they talk about the pastor's wife, some preachers. And I always want to not be known this way. Sometimes somebody mentions brother so-and-so, and the first thing they say is, yes, and they got the most wonderful wife. don't say a thing about him, but they always say, boy, he got the most wonderful wife. It's good when they say, well, yeah, he's a good man. He's got a good wife as well. They're both wonderful. But you all have a wonderful pastor, a wonderful pastor's wife. Both are held in the highest regard, but everybody knows them. Both are very influential. And I'm saying very influential. And leading the charge to encourage others to earnestly contend for the faith. And that's not easy to do that. And not to be looked at and thought about in that way. But Brother Joe, Sister Belinda, leads the charge. Earnestly contending for the faith, wants to deliver to the saints. Their tremendous help to missionaries. But Todd, Sister Rosalinda, when they come up, they talk so fondly of this church. Know y'all by name. Talk about the interactions, the time y'all spend with them. I'd say a lot of you got very heavy hearts today, thinking they're going to be gone. You're going to miss them. You probably have heavy hearts thinking they will be able to start a ministry there. But again, it's the Lord's will, not ours. But I know their brother Todd, Sister Rosalinda, we certainly love them as well and their family. They help the missionaries, pastors, pastors' families, preachers, and brothers and sisters that have a need across the land. Brother Joe, Sister Belinda are there to step up and help. Brother Joe has a very unique gift to enter others, to help others enter in the process of helping as well. A mentor, a guide, a teacher to young Christians and older mature Christians also. You're absolutely blessed to have such a pastor and a pastor's wife. I got these things written down. You say, well, did you have to do it because you can't remember? I can't remember. I didn't have to do a lot of erasing either. I'm just speaking from my heart. No, he never. I know that you feel blessed as such a wonderful pastor and a church to pay to pastor. But Brother Joe feels, Sister Belinda feel blessed to have a pastor, to be as a pastor, a pastor's wife, to have such a blessed church to serve in and be a part of. Let me speak a moment about Faith Baptist Church of Versailles. You got a great pastor, a great man, a great woman of the Lord to guide you, but they're good friends as well. They're true blue friends. Someone sit and laugh with you, cry with you, love you, and care about you anytime. And I again commend you, calling them and loving them and taking care of them in return. You got to remember, and always remember, Brother Joe and Sister Belinda are human. And they have needs just like you do. And I know that you take time to consider that from time to time, and probably very much so. They got family, they got loved ones, they have sickness, illness, problems, things that bother them, and they're human just like you are. As far as the church, your love for the Lord, one another, for your preachers, as a church, your missionaries, again, Brother Tossus, Rosalinda, I testify to that all the time. As a church, those that you minister to, your community, your country, your church, and you've got an absolutely beautiful, beautiful church building, auditorium, the annex, and Brother Todd talking about the comforts of the places to stay and the kitchen and all the upgrades. And every time you come, you see something different here around this property. It's amazing. Everything is always immaculate kept. Everything looks nice and clean and presentable and pretty. And it's always that you're making improvements functionally, and you're always beautifying the house of God and the properties the Lord's given you. You're commended. I commend the busy bees of Faith Baptist Church. Last, before getting to the words of the God, I commend your internet outreach. Second to none. You have such amazing tech-savvy individuals. I met just for a moment, I think it's Brother Nathan, if I'm pronouncing his name right. Others take care of the sound system, Brother Sonny. Others take care of the sound system, Brother Nathan. Tech-savvy. I got to look at the equipment. Excellent equipment. I knew it had to be because you couldn't put on the production that you do. And it makes it good when people turn to it and it's easy to get to and see and watch and view. And it's a wonderful. If you broadcast me today, your ratings may go down terribly so. But you got good equipment, got good people. You're reaching a lot of people with the internet. We thank God for that. I want to encourage you to keep on the good work, the wonderful work, God honoring and God bless the work you do. Always knowing your labor is not in vain. Serve the Lord. I pray. Pray for this church. Pray for your pastor every day. Pray for your pastor's wife. I pray the blessings of God will be in your personal life, in your family, your loved one's life. First and foremost, for salvation, they'd be saved. In their service. May the God bless your church, your part of it. Bless your church. Continue to bless your church, your community, your country. And the glory of the Lord continue to motivate and encourage you to keep on keeping on for the Lord. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through verse 7. With some of the songs we've heard sang, the prayers, certainly enjoyed the singing, the specials. The young ladies, a phenomenal job. We praise the Lord for that. We just ask that the Lord would tend to bless, lead, guide, direct you in all the things that you do. Wonderful, wonderful Sunday school lesson. Brother Jay preached about good grapes, the wild grapes. Basically, my message is that you keep on producing the good grapes that the Lord is planting, the Lord wants you to produce. And don't be producing those wild grapes. Because this church is glorious as glorious. And the heritage and the witness that you have right now, that could be destroyed. And it could go apart real quick. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. It speaks about the gifts and people having gifts and God giving gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll find my place. You know where I got yours. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'll not have you be ignorant. Know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh of the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus the curse, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Neither there are diverse gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of operation, but the same God is worth all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. I think you understand again what has been said, that God gives gifts and blesses the church with gifts. I want to just focus on the last part of verse 7. But I want to talk about the Lord blessing and giving gifts and the use of those gifts. Nothing you haven't heard before. But what has made Faith Baptist Church what it is? It's children of the Lord using their God-given gifts, unique abilities to serve God, and God bless that. And it's continued to bless that. But it'll only be if it continues on. And that's why I just simply want to encourage you to do that. There in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given every man to profit withal. That given every man to profit withal. The word profit, defined in Strong's Concordance, is to bear together, to contribute, to bring together. The Lord gives each individual that is saved, member of this church, God has given you a gift or gifts to be used to contribute and strive to bring to each individual in this church together. And to build a group, a team, for the glory of the Lord. And I speak about a church, I'm talking about a called local, called out assembly of baptized believers. A church that is established by the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth. The gates of hell will not prevail against. When the Lord comes back at the rapture, His kind of a church will be here. And by God's grace, and by our paying attention to the Lord's will in our life, and as a church, we'll continue to use our gifts and produce those good grapes and not produce all the wild grapes. And when the wild grapes come, they have to be laid aside, that a church could be pure and spotless at the coming of our Lord. but to be used of the Lord. If it don't, you have no church. We also read this same thought, this truth presented to us in Ephesians 4:16, from the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if it's not done with love, nothing else is going to make any difference. But you serve in love. Love for one another. Love for the Lord. Love for the cause of Christ. And work together. Each member to use their own unique gift or gifts to bring this church they're a church or a member of and bring that together. And I believe if you're saved, you're to follow the Lord in baptism. Become a member of a church and serve in that church. And God gives you a gift and you are to serve and use that gift in that church. Until you figure out what that special gift is, there's a lot of general help that is needed in all the ministries of the church. A church this size has many things that needs to be done and accomplished. And oftentimes, as any kind of organization, you have a few that are workers, and you have others that simply maybe sometimes enjoy what the others are doing. But everybody's got gifts. You have a gift. Until you find that gift, find yourself busy serving the Lord. You say, is it all about work? Is it work, work, work? It's not work. If there's something you love to do, it does not become work to you. It's an enjoyable thing. Church, come together. Come together for what? For the purpose of worship. That includes prayer, praise, preaching, and service. Our service is part of our worship to the Lord. That includes taking forth the gospel to all the world, baptizing the converts, and teaching them all things. Share the gospel. Never stop sharing the gospel with others around you, your family, your loved ones. Tell them about Jesus. Though we understand these gifts are given in an extraordinary way by extraordinary God, what does Romans 12:1 tell us? You see, as we say, well, God's in control. God will get it done if it's God's will to be. Well, yes, it will be. But what does God use? He uses human instrumentality. God uses you and uses I to get his work done. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, do you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Give your bodies a living sacrifice. There's those that are martyrs, and even today, there are those that give their life. They give their life, literally give their life for what they believe. It's not got to that point in America. I thought at one time it was getting very close. And then we started seeing the tide swung. But now there's anger, and there's so much anger. It may very well be that we have to give our life to continue on in the days come. I don't know what it'll be before the Lord gets back. But in the meanwhile, we're not being called upon right now to give our life. We're to give ourselves a living sacrifice for the Lord. And that's just our reasonable service. That's nothing extra. We've been granted these exceptional gifts. It's only reasonable we should be using them. Certainly not abuse them. Of all of the things that are going on, it's got to be some people using their gifts. I see that already today. You see those that are ministering and singing and playing pianos and organs. You see people working back there and things that are going on and things downstairs and people using their gifts and abilities. There's people here that they're using your abilities, but are there any here that are not using your ability? Why, sure. We got people in our church can play a guitar, make good music, and can sing. They don't use that. We got people in our church and sometimes I can hear them sing. And they got such a beautiful voice in the congregation. You try to get them to sing in the choir or to find somebody else to sing with. And sometimes I try to get them to sing with me, and that's always a no-no. Sometimes it's people in my family. They got some good gifts. And I said, let's get up and sing. And one of them said, we're not old Gaither family. We're not a singing family. I said, we can make a joyful noise in the Lord and maybe encourage somebody else to get up and to sing. But it's just not singing. There's a lot of gifts, unique gifts that people have. And certainly don't abuse your gift. Don't abuse your gift. Don't let waste your gift. to believe the Holy Bible, to give a tenth of your treasure back to the Lord. The Bible says we give unto the Lord. Well, that's praiseworthy to give a tenth. One of the few times I ever offered plate has passed me that I didn't put something in. I told you I didn't bring my billfold. My grandson had to buy him a breakfast this morning. But to give unto the Lord. I learned that it's not only the right thing to do, but God blesses tithing and giving. The only thing I seen about your ushery, a fine-looking man. But we had a young man that kind of trained our church how to give more. And he started off really young. His mom and dad are tithers. I understand that they are and always have been. And I reckon he just thought everybody should be giving. So when he would come by with the offering plate, if you didn't put something in the offering plate, he stood there until you did. And now your usher, he just kind of breezed right on by. He might have thought something. He didn't say nothing. He didn't look off. But he just kind of eased right on by. Now this young man didn't. He sat there and just looked at you. Held the offering plate right there. It got so people, they'd put in a penny or a nickel or a quarter or something. They got so they would give because they didn't want him to stand there looking at them. He wasn't doing that to be rude because there's not a rude bone in his body. He wouldn't do nothing to hurt nobody's feelings. He just thought you ought to be giving, to give a tenth. You got somebody who's either giving a tenth or they're giving a lot more because you couldn't continue on to do the things you're doing if you wasn't a giving church. And giving and helping others, you're a giving church. But it's a good thing, a praiseworthy thing. It's a profitable thing. Malachi 3:10, Luke 6:38. 2 Corinthians 9, 7-8, the Bible teaches us it's praiseworthy, it's right, it's profitable for us to do so. When we come about, when we start talking about giving a tenth of our time, 2.4 hours, 6 days a week, but Sunday the Lord's day to be his day. Do we give a tenth of our time? A lot of times it's much easier to give money than it is time. Time's valuable to us, isn't it? Then what about a tenth of your talent? People say, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm wore down. I can't do. Well, sometimes we can't do. I determined a long time ago in my life that I was going to be a victor and not a victim of circumstance. Sometimes people's pride lets them become a victim. I could have walked up here and tried to step up and says, my knees don't want to work. They just don't want to work. I heard Brother Laswell up here preaching on Facebook, and he said to talk to his doctor, was Brother Laswell, and he said he told his doctor, I think you got a back problem. Brother Laswell said the doctor patted his belly. Said it's more of a front problem than it is a back problem, right? I've got a front problem. It's caused a lot of pressure on my knees. But would I be prideful and try to walk up here and fall down, or would I just be less prideful and come up that step and hold that handrail? Yeah. I held the handrail. Yeah. Sometimes we let pride get in the way of serving the Lord. Terrible thing. Pride is a terrible thing. Give a tenth of your talent. Because what if I mess up? If you haven't messed up, you've never tried nothing. My goodness. Use your talent. Don't let pride get in the way of using your talent. I'm just not talking about singing. I'm talking about just stepping out by faith and doing what the Lord has called you to do. And don't be like the young fellow that told me one time. He said, I said, yo, you've been coming for a long time. Is there things you might want to do in a church or something you feel like led to do? He said, yeah, I think I ought to be doing something. I said, you've got a great mind about you. I said, did you ever think about teaching? He said, well, I said, I'm not really much of a leader, I don't think. I said, there's some things that need some help in. I said, would you be willing to help this brother or this brother? He said, well, I'm not much of a follower either. I just kind of throw my hands up in the air. As a sister come forward one time in the service, we was preaching, and you'll be a doer. Don't be just be a hearer, be a doer. And after the service, she come forward and said, Brother Tim, I don't want to just be a hearer no more. I want to be a doer. And after the services, I said, sister, it's great. And I said, what is in the church that you'd like to be a part of? What do you want to help out in? She'd give me the blankest look. She said, what? I said, what do you want to do? She said, I'm going to just start coming to church more. That's sad. When you think you're a doer, being a doer, is that you just come to church. That's part of the reasonable service the Lord calls us to do. I'm not preaching bad about you because you got some doers here in this church, and many of them, where you couldn't get the things done that you accomplished. But what about maybe somebody that is not such a doer? Maybe the Lord's speaking to you. And sometimes people try to soothe their spirituality or brother relationship with the Lord by getting involved in doing things and not even saved. First, you need to be saved. You need to know you're a child of God. You've been washed the blood, repent of your sin, put your faith and trust in Jesus. There's nothing more important than that. Then when you're baptized, become a member of the Lord's church and serve and work through that church. And as I said, the church will help you and save your family and save your home if you'll be a part of that church and serve that church. How much you use your talent, your gift for the Lord. For the bringing together the church you are a member of, do the work of the ministry. Are you using your gift that God's given you to make things better and trying to build up? We live in such an egocentric and self-centered world. It's for me and myself and no more. Think about other people and their needs. Try to be an encouragement to them, be a help to them. Sometimes just a smile or a handshake can make a lot of difference in somebody's life. Just a kind word. Fellow, one time I stopped, went up beside him. I sat down. He's had a place up beside us. He bought a place. He'd done some work around it. And he got in one of those kind of a table there and had a little umbrella over it. I went up and sat down beside him. I spoke to him. I said, "How's things going?" I said, "It's going pretty good." I said, "You got things looking good around here, right here along the side of the road. Things looking pretty nice." He said, "Yes, I've been working on it." He said, "I'm drinking a cup of tea and looking there. And cars by and by. Wave, every car that come by, every car come by, I'd wave at them. Live in the country. Country life, you wave at people. Know me, don't know them. Enemies are not enemies. You wave at everybody. Went to the city, walking up the street, my brother-in-law, up to Toledo, just waving at everybody. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm waving." He said, "Stop, you'll get the law called on us." I said, "What for?" He said, "You don't know these people. They'll get you for harassment. They'll think you're crazy. You think you're a heroin addict. You're out of your mind." He said, "People don't wave at nobody up here." I said, "Well, what a shame." I said, "Won't you start? Maybe they'll start." I asked him, I said, "What are you doing there?" I said, "You just going to just sit here and drink your tea and wave at everybody comes up the road?" You know what he said to me? He said, "I'll wave if they wave at me first." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I ain't going to wave at somebody and give them the privilege of not waving back at me." I said, "Well, I ain't going to wave at him." I thought, well, terrible, terrible. Terrible, terrible. You be the one that reaches out to people. That same thing about that old pride. Sometimes we don't reach out to people because of pride. How much use your talent and gift for the bringing together of your church? Use your gift to contribute to the cause of Christ, your local assembly. One argument a lot of people use, "Well, I use my gift and I do it outside the church." Glory be to the Lord and His church. And listen, if you don't serve the Lord outside your church, it'd be a good witness and a testimony. Well, that's being a hypocrite. It's not being a good witness. You need to live your life outside the church the same as you live your life in the church. But to do things outside the church and believe that it's going to suffice with ministry to the Lord in your church and say, "Well, I'm doing this out here." That's not what the Lord tells us to do. Glory is to come to the Lord through the church. What would happen if every member of this church, if all of a sudden, just stopped or never began to support the local church with their treasure, their time, and their talent? Revelation 2:5 says your church can die. A church can die, can wither away and die. Ephesians 3:21, "And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." This phrase means, "and to him be the glory," means that we ascribe all that is right, good, holy, and perfect unto God. Each one of his local called out assemblies, individual churches, is the only kind of a church there is. Are the seed, the center of God's praise, the authority of Christ, the glory of Christ, resides in his church as an institution. I'm not talking about a dead, lifeless building. I'm talking about a vibrant, called out assembly of baptized believers. A true church instituted under the truth of God. A church like the Lord Jesus Christ established. It's a vibrant, alive building. A live group. It's just not a building. It's just not a deadness. It's alive. And we're to strive and bring God glory in that way. To say you're calling to God and serving Him is not through His local church, that island yourself, Lone Ranger, that don't get with God. That gives you glory. Don't bring God to glory. His glory comes your service in Him through the church. 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on in my hands. For some here today, you might remember how in times past you used your talents, your gifts, and service the Lord. You hear people say, well, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to do this. I used to do that. Physical sometimes, health concerns, problems, things change. But we can change our ministry. We can change and help other ways. Remember how that you used to do what Almighty God had blessed you with? You used that for His honor and glory. Helped done your part fulfilling the Great Commission, being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received this gift, even so minister same one to another, as good steward of the manifold grace of God. My prayers to the message today will be used to stir you up, to motivate you. For others, maybe to simply start back. Motivate you to keep on. Maybe start back, or perhaps for the first time as a child of God and a member of this church, to use your talent, your gift for the cause of Christ. That you may, as 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, seek out those special gifts, talents, God-blessed qualities that the Lord has given you to excel, to go up and beyond to the edifying of this church, to the building up of this church. And that one day you may be presented to Christ as a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blame. That's what I want to see one day. I hope I could be a part of that. What one thing, and I ask as we come to a real quick close, what one thing today can you do? Publicly, maybe, unashamedly, consecrate yourself anew to become a more vibrant, dedicated, faithful child of God as a member of Faith Baptist Church of Versailles, Kentucky. What one thing could you do? What could, one thing could you do? Maybe one more thing that you could do. To continue that you can see this church continue to be a vibrant ministry. And they continue to be a light, a beacon of hope for a lost and dying world, because that's what it is right here. Not only here in this community, for your family, your loved ones, this community, but your light shines bright. Continue to be what the Lord intended for you as one of His children. What one of His churches intended to be. You know, some churches look back to their glory days. Faith Baptist Church, you're looking at your glory days. The Lord is blessing you and blessing you so much. But don't ever let it be that you sit back and think about the good old glory days. Your ministries has expanded. Your outreach has expanded. Preachers going forth and the work that they're doing is expanding. Now, on all front, all areas of ministry, you just keep expanding out further and further. And talking to Brother Joe, there's not one thing, there's not one hint of backing up. There's no backing up with Brother Joe. It's always onward and forward. And you motivate him just to keep doing that. And he wants to motivate you together. That's what we said, motivate one another together. Many of our sister churches look up. And they take encouragement from Faith Baptist Church of Versailles. Through and by God's grace, I just encourage you to continue on for the cause of Christ. God's blessed you mightily, and we thank God for you. Brother Joe.
Usually 3:53.